Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. So, we're starting a new series this evening. I'm excited about what God has for us. But the title of the series is summed up, it's just one word. And that word is unstoppable. Unstoppable. And the idea behind this series is found in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 that we're going to read as we begin. And if you don't have this verse memorized, I would encourage you to memorize this as we go through this series. It'll be a blessing to you, and it'll help you as you keep these things in mind and understand what God wants for us. So, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Unstoppable. Let's start with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for who you are. We thank you for your amazing love, the love that sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, the love that has prepared for us an eternity in heaven. We thank you for your love, and we pray that you would help us now as we study your word. Bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The destruction of the rainforest in South America is really a big political issue down there, and it's a big thing that many people are concerned about, and that deforestation really hit its peak in the 80s, in the 1980s, with a lot of illegal logging operations, and even with a lot of wildfires that took place in that region. And so during the 80s, it really began to grow to a level that was concerning to a number of people, and so they would reach out to their politicians, and the politicians would talk about stopping this illegal logging and bringing back the rainforest, and the politicians would talk about all of those things to get elected, and we know how this goes, right? Same way here. They talk about things, and then it seems like nothing ever gets done. So that was all going on during the 80s. And so there was a man by the name of Omar Tello. And Omar Tello was an Ecuadorian accountant. And in the 1980s, he started a project. And he just started something. He went and he bought 17 acres of farmland outside of a small city in Ecuador. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn this into a rainforest preserve. This small area of land, right? 17 acres, which in the big scheme of things isn't that big, but it's a lot for what he was doing. So he said, I'm going to turn this into a rainforest preserve. And so he spent 15 years rejuvenating that soil. He would just make compost and really to take that soil that had been over-farmed and make it so it was suitable for what he was going to plant. So for 15 years, he spent working on the land and getting that soil to where it needed to be. Then he began to travel to remote areas of this rainforest, finding plants and trees that were almost extinct, on the border of extinction. And he would go and get cuttings from them or seeds from them and bring them back to his 17 acres, and he would plant them. And so he began working on this whole project, and he even started a plant nursery there where he would sell beautiful flowers and things, and eventually got to the place where he could support himself with that. He quit his job as an accountant, and he just devoted full time to his project, to 17 acres, this small area outside the city. He devoted his time and his life to this, and he has spent 40 years. And so now it's this forest. It's like this area of forest that he has preserved and that he has grown. But he spent over 40 years working on this project, and he's still doing it today. And they've interviewed him, and he says, I'm not done yet. There's still more that I want to get done. There's still more that I want to do on this project. There's more plants I want to find and trees I want to grow and all of this. He's not done yet. But you have to understand, working on this project for 40 years, starting off as it was kind of like a part-time thing. He would get up early before work. He would come home after work and work on this. That takes a lot of dedication, and that takes a lot of determination to do this same thing for 40 years and to work on what began as a hobby and then to make it like his full-time job. But all the hard work and the dedication went into that. But for 40 years, he kept doing that. Now, how long has God been working on you? You are a project. You're God's project. How long has God been working on your life? And you know, we can look back in our lives and see the moment we got saved and remember how in that moment we chose to trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, to turn from our sin and say there is only Jesus Christ, and to trust in Jesus Christ. But even before that, God was working on us. And even before we kind of got on the same page as God and turned toward the Lord in faith, God has been working on us. And we are this project that God has slowly been changing and transforming. And what we find in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 is he tells us that he's not done yet. He is not done working on us. That we are still a work in progress. But it's not just that, like, that there's more work to do. And there is. There's a lot more work to be done in all of us. I think we would all raise our hand and say, yes, I confess that there's a lot more work that God can do in my life. But it's not just that idea, that there's more work for God to do. It's that God has not stopped. God has not stopped working in us. God has not given up on us. God has not quit on us, on the project that we all individually are. But he is still continuing to work. And that's what we mean when we say that God is unstoppable. That he is unstoppable. That God is not going to quit working until the work is done. He's not going to be done until his work is finished in us. And so there's several things that I want to see in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 as we begin this whole series about what it means when we say that God is unstoppable in this work that he's doing in us. And so here's what we find about God in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. The first thing is that he is a determined target. We find that God has a determined target, and that target is you. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 16, if you'll go with me there. Genesis chapter 16. So if I give us some background for this account in Genesis chapter 16, God had promised Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a child and that God would raise up a great nation from this child. And it just wasn't happening with Sarah. And so they kind of hatched this plan that Abraham is going to have a son, but he's going to have it through Hagar, their servant. And so Abraham and Hagar have a son named Ishmael. And when that happens, Sarah gets bent out of shape. And she's unhappy with the fact that it happened with Hagar and that now they have a son with Hagar. And so she decides that she's going to basically get rid of Hagar. So Hagar is essentially pushed out of this family and pushed out of their household. And so she goes out into the wilderness, but God is not done with Hagar. God is not finished with Hagar. And so he gives to Hagar this prophecy about her son Ishmael, that God is going to make a nation out of Ishmael. So he gives her this prophecy, and here's what she says in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 16. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? And she said this. She said, Here I have seen the one who sees me. And she had this moment where God showed to her how much he saw her, even as she was cast aside by this other family. Yet God still saw her. And we get that from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. That God's still looking at us. And God still sees us. And we understand from Scripture that when God sees us, he looks at us with eyes of love. Love that amazing love. That God would die for us. That he would send Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. That Jesus would shed his blood for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We've seen that God looks at us with eyes of love in spite of everything that we are and in spite of everything that we've done. How many times we've rebelled against God and all the wickedness of our past and even the wickedness of our present, God still loves us. But as God sees us, God is not satisfied with our current condition, the current state of how we are. We're not who we used to be, but also we are not yet who we are going to be. We are in the middle of that. And when God sees us, he says, I'm thankful that you are saved. But he says, I want still to do a work in your life. There's still things that God wants to change. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, we're familiar with the verse 9, right? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't know the depths of our heart. But then the next verse says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins. And he was saying, you don't know your heart. We don't know all the ways that we can be changed and we can be improved. But God sees that. God sees every part of our heart, every piece of our life. And he knows the ways in which we can improve, in which he can change us and he can continue to work in us. And when God sees that, and when God points those things out, he does that for our good. We understand that this is for our benefit. That as God convicts and God points those things out, and as God works to change those things in our life, he is doing that for our good. That we would change. It's for our benefit, but it all is also for the glory of God. So that we would bring God the glory that he deserves. That Jesus Christ, because he died on the cross for us, the sacrifice that he paid, that he would receive the glory that is due because of what he's done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we find in Philippians chapter 1, there's a determined target, and that's you and me. God sees us. But then, number two, we find that he has a determined task. A determined task. He which hath begun a good work in you. That's his task. A good work in us. It's that work of transformation and that work of change. And it's specifically that work of conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. That we would be like Jesus Christ. That's the work. Because when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he showed God to us. He was God. He was the Son of God and the Son of Man. And he showed us who God was. This representation to us of how God lives, the nature of God, the character of God, the actions, the words of God, all of these things were shown to us in Jesus Christ. And then he says, now I'm going to change you into the image of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. After God, in the image of God. Right, in the likeness of God, we are remade in righteousness and true holiness. And it's a process it's this lifelong process of sanctification, of changing us, transforming us. So it's this process that is going on throughout our life as God is working on us. And it's a long-term process because it's quite a task to take every part of us and change all of those and restore all of those. If you were to do this, to picture in your mind a dream car, right? Your dream car, whatever it might be. Maybe it's like a newer car, right? A race car, like a sports car. Maybe it's like an old car, right? An old time truck or whatever, right? So you get that in your mind and make sure it's the right color, right? The right model and that the upholstery is all the way you have it, right? So you have that in your mind and then we're gonna change that image a little bit. We're going to take that dream car and we're going to put it, and now it's out in the woods, okay? It's out in the middle of the woods somewhere. It's also overgrown, right? So there's a lot of branches and just vines that have crawled over that. It's also up on cinder blocks, all right? So make that change. It's on cinder blocks. All the wheels are gone. The doors are no longer on it. I don't know if it had two or four, but right now it has zero doors. The hood's up and there's not much under it. Squirrels have nested everywhere, right? The fabric's disgusting on the inside, okay? That's now the picture that I want you to have in your head of your dream car. So let's say you're out there and you see that, right? You see that car, and then you go, okay, I want to take that, and I want to restore it. I want to bring it back to mint condition. That's a lot of work. I know there's probably a couple of us in here who have an understanding of how much work that's going to take to get it to from out in the middle of the forest, destroyed, to mint condition sitting in your driveway. Maybe there's some that have like an idea of that process and how much that's going to be, but it's a lot of work because it's been absolutely destroyed. And understand that sin has done a number on our lives. It's done a number on us and who we are. But God is in the process of taking us and transforming us and changing us. And all the parts of our life and all the areas of our life and of our heart and of our mind, God is working to transform those into the image of Jesus Christ. He's working on us. We are this work in progress. And so we see this determined task, right? That he is going to do this. He is doing this. But then number three, we also find that he has a determined timeline. A determined timeline, and it says this: He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the deadline. That's the day when it will be completed, until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, deadlines can be very stressful, right? As that day gets closer and closer and you have it in your mind that whatever you're working on, right, the project has a finish date and it has to be done by this date. And as you get closer and closer to that, it's like the stress builds. And you see the days get shorter and it's like the to-do list gets longer. And you go out and it's a lot of work to get this done, and the stress just piles up. So deadlines can be stressful. But also, if you are the one, then instead of working on the project, if you're the one that's waiting to receive it, boy, that deadline's exciting. You know, like for me, I order things on Amazon and then I'm like, okay, 2-day shipping if everything works out, or, you know, 4-day shipping. And I go, okay, they say it's going to be here on Tuesday. And I go, oh, I'm excited. You know, I don't have to do anything. I'm not the one in the warehouses or doing whatever. I'm the one waiting for it. That's the side that we're on of this deadline, where God has said, I will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're on the side of, we know it's going to be done. We know that it is inevitable that we will be remade into the image of Jesus Christ. That is an unstoppable work being done by an unstoppable God. That's what he's doing in us and for us. And so, Philippians chapter 3, if you go there, verse 20. Philippians 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, there's the timeline, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We don't know exactly when that day is. I can't put a date on it. I can't put a time on it. But I know it's going to happen because God has promised that. And while we don't know when that day is, we also understand that God's not procrastinating. That even in this time, God is working. We know that there is that time when it will be accomplished. It will be finished in completion and in perfection. But right now, in this time, as we are moving toward that day, God is right now working on us. God is doing a work even now in our life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in, that we should walk in them. There's going to be a lot that changes in that day. There's going to be a lot that changes when we get to heaven. But there's a lot that can be changed right now. That right now, as we walk with God and as we allow him to work in our life, there is so much that God can change right now in that work of sanctification, that work of transforming us to look like Jesus Christ. It shouldn't be our mindset that we say, okay, saved, I'm just going to wait till heaven. But it should be, Lord, change me right now, today, this week. Lord, transform me, change my life. That should be our attitude. And so in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, God has a determined target, a determined task, and a determined timeline. And we have a very determined God. But I wanted to make this clear right at the beginning of this series that this series isn't about us. It's about God. It's about who God is and the fact that God is unstoppable and his unstoppable determination to change us into the image of Jesus Christ. So go back to Isaiah chapter 46 with me. Isaiah chapter 46 in verse 9. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9, we're going to read down through verse 11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Isaiah 46 and verse 10 now. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. That's the God that we have. And he looked at Israel and he said, I've already declared the end from the beginning. And he says, I'm going to bring it to pass. What I have decided is going to happen, it will happen. And he talks in verse 11 about calling a ravenous bird and the man that was going to execute what he had desired from a far country. And the way that God brings things about many times is not what we expect. And it's not what we think is going to happen or how it's going to take place. But God has it all lined up to the point where God says, I've declared the end from the beginning. From the beginning, I've declared how it would end. And God has done that in our life. He has said, there's coming a day when you will be in heaven with me and you will be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. He's declared that. And we have a God that is unstoppable. One day it's going to be finished. One day it will be completed. And that cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped. One day God will finish what he has begun in us. You can't stop that. Satan can't stop that. God will accomplish what he has said. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is going to continue to work in us until that day because God's not done until the work is done. God will not be finished until he is finished working on us. And as we go through this series, I have really a twofold purpose. The first purpose is this, to encourage you with the realization that God is working in you and that God has not stopped working in you. God has not given up on you. God has not quit on your life. And God is not going to. And we need to take, through this series, take really God's perspective on our sanctification and on our life and on the way God is working in us. And not to see it from our perspective, but to see it from God's perspective and to see that what he has started, he is continuing to do and he will continue to do until it is finished. So I want this to be an encouragement to you. And in the weeks to come, we're going to see what it means, what it really means to us and practically in our life when we say that God is unstoppable in this work. But not only is it to be an encouragement, but also I want it to be a challenge because many times the going can seem really slow in this process of our sanctification. It can seem like we take one step forward, two steps back. Like things just aren't moving as fast as we would like them to move. And so in addition to being an encouragement, I want it to be a challenge to us, that a challenge to not give up and a challenge to not get in the way. Those two things. Don't give up and don't get in the way of the work that God is trying to do. Because we can find ourselves doing one or both of those two things. And so really, as we begin the series, I want us to ask ourselves, have we given up on this whole idea of sanctification and of God really changing every part of our life and God doing that work right now? Have we given up on that idea? Have we in hopelessness and frustration and discouragement just said, this area of my life, or even my life in general, it's just not going to change. I am who I am, and this is how I will be. Have we given up? But also the other question is, have we gotten in the way? Have we gotten in the way of what God is trying to do? Where God says, I want to change you, and we've gotten stubborn with God and say, I don't want to change. I want to be who I am, and I want to stay this way. And you know, you don't stop an avalanche, do you? You can't stop an avalanche. You just get out of the way. You just move and get out of the way. God is not going to be stopped in this, but we can get in the way. And we can really slow things down in this life and really fight against God and what He is trying to do. We cannot stop what God is going to finish when we get to heaven, but we can get in the way right now. I wonder if we have. If we have, instead of trying to work with God, trusting in God, obeying God, listening to the voice of God, being sensitive to the conviction of the Spirit, if we have just stopped doing that and gotten in the way of what God is trying to do in our life. But you have an unstoppable God. You have an unstoppable God that is doing an unstoppable work in your life. And so I want to end just by reading Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 one more time. We can be confident in this. And I want you to be. I want you to be confident in this. That He, an unstoppable God, which has begun a good work in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. Your power, Your wisdom, Your majesty, and we thank You for the fact that You see us, and that You have a desire to work in our hearts. And so, Lord, we pray that we would see this process, this work that You're doing in our life, that we would not give up on it, that we would not get in the way of it. But Lord, help us to work with You. And Lord, may You change us. May You transform our lives. We'll thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.